Yeah, oh, it's so awesome to be here. Thank you for just being so hospitable to our congregation. And like, I really felt this morning when we prayed. This is not like I'm not bringing hope to give to you guys. Like this is me coming, and I just have a word of something that I experienced in my life that we all share in. It's not something that I found. I didn't find something that is new coming to give the latest, you know, TED talk or something. But this is just it's a testimony, but it's also, it's just so amazing because God's given this to us, to every person that is in Christ. A little bit of a backstory. Most of you don't know me. My name is Jacques. I'm married to Sarah there with. We just had a baby boy, baby Jack. I think he's becoming more popular than we knew who we are. Growing up, I come from a family that really loved the Lord. My parents, my whole family always went to church, like really loved the Lord. There was a stage about in teenage years when I started really trying to do my own way, trying to figure out, try to figure out life for myself. I wasn't just following my parents anymore, but I had to really try to figure out, okay, what is this, you know, what is life? What am I believing, and what's God doing in me, or to the degree of like, yo, is this something that I'm completely following the way my parents followed? I often hear there's a few people that a lot of times through, you know, when it's varsity, they get to a stage where they actually have to figure out, like, is this actually something that to make a decision for themselves, you know, to follow God. But essentially, went through lots of different years through varsity, and I always believed in Jesus. I always prayed, always seeked after him, but he showed himself to me, but I didn't really want to follow him. It was like the life that I had envisioned for myself was completely different to what I thought Jesus had envisioned to me. That seemed very... very a lot of boundaries, you know, like you have to live this way, you have to live the right way and things like this. And I wanted to be free, you know, just live the good life. But I still wanted to be saved, you know, so I kind of, you know, prayed to him at night, asked him for forgiveness, did all the things that you did, every now and then went to church. To a degree after varsity, I decided, okay, cool, I'm going to move out of this country, away from all the people that are, you know, close to me, that give me comfort. And I really thought, I will show everyone that, you know, you don't actually need, like, you don't really need anything to be good, or you don't need anything to live life in freedom. God really showed me, thank goodness God showed me at that stage, that is not possible. He very, very quickly showed me what is the consequences of living a life without him. It sometimes comes across my mind with, like, there's sometimes hard times we go through, and I went through a very hard time at that time. It was, I think every single day, full-on anxiety attacks, like, the whole world came down. It was really not a fun time. I experienced what, God almost showed me, like, okay, cool. You want to live this life without me? Here's a little bit of, because, I mean, that's not even a little bit of what life would be without him in eternity. But he really loved me so much, so that at that point, he would show me a little bit of, like, what it is like to live without him. And then on my 24th birthday, I think God confronted me last time, and he was like, okay, cool, what are you going to do, you know? And I thought to myself, cool, okay, I'm going to look at all the men that I respect and just see what is the common thing that they have among them. And I looked at my dad, I looked at his friend, and I think another one guy that was like, yo, these guys, they seem like they have, peace. They seem like they have joy through seasons, and it's really seems that they got it all together, even though it just seemed that they really had something that I desired. And I realized, whoa, but they all love Jesus, and they devoted to him, like they live their life following him, like living their, building their lives on him. Everything they do is just built on Jesus. And I was like, okay, cool, let me try this, you know, because I always kind of did, but let me just try this the way that they do it, and I'll go full in. The next day, I was telling my wife, it was like I was wearing this heavy, wet blanket on my head, and it was just taken off. And like my eyes were open, and this was this freedom of God. All of a sudden, like, yo, actually, you can walk. Like, it was like everything started making sense. And like, and it was, oh, it was the best time. Like, I was alone in a different country, but I felt so connected to God's people and like everything that he had. And like, he just showed me all of those things. And so that was just to kind of round up like where I, how this started for me, like really just having a taste of the freedom that God has for us. And it's not just the freedom of living, you know, living good, you know, it's a freedom of not living in sin, a freedom of honoring him and worshiping this amazing God with everything you have, because nothing can hold you back. And so, you know, life goes on, and you get married, you, like, things become a lot again, and old patterns start going back, and you try to not go away from the Lord, but try to, you know, I really felt like the Lord, like, he showed me what is a life that he wants from me, a life that's devoted to him. But something started coming in again of trying to do it my own way, you know, taking my own steps into achieving this, let's call it righteousness, which essentially is self-righteousness, because within my own self, we know, like, there's no, absolute no way that within myself I could live up to a life that is truly pleasing to God. And it was quite rough. And so, I mean, I started like thinking, okay, cool, what is the ways that I could please God? You know, what is the life that I could, you know, write stuff down. And essentially, I thought about the other day, I was like, I was essentially writing a book of laws again to follow Jesus. And not thinking what I'm doing is like going back to like the first covenant that the Lord made. I'm almost putting that self on myself again. And you can put on the first slide. You can put on the next one. I was facing like tough decisions that I really realized, but there's all these ways, like, how can I truly, I told my wife the other day, the gospel, like, following Jesus is not complicated. It's so relational, like, he's there with you, and it's not complicated, but it doesn't mean it's easy, you know, like, and we'll get a bit later to the, to what that whole holds, but you can pop on the next one. So what I'm saying is, if I were to write a book about a year ago, it would essentially be that. It's trying to find the right way, the systems to create a good life, to follow the Lord well, and I was essentially trying to come up with my own ways to follow God, instead of actually just going to him and asking him, like, how can I follow you well? Way to next, what's the next steps? And I really came to the conclusion after a long time, like, myself as a human being is so limited and so incapable of living up to a life that is truly good. Why would I all of a sudden get it right now when I couldn't get it right then? Yes, I believe in Jesus and he has saved me, but not in my own power. Like, nothing that I did saved me. It was only him. Yeah, it's I felt like sometimes you do see it a lot in society these days where the amount of self-help books you've got in the bookstore. And all of them are trying to figure out what is the perfect solution to a life that is good or that is a good prosperity life or a life that's even ethically good. But the only way we know is actually just looking at Jesus, because he's our perfecter. He's the one that doesn't only show us what is good; he's also the one that leads us step by step to that. You could see that even in the Old Testament, when Moses Moses is, and the Israelites, the Jews were followed in the into the desert, and God's presence was always with them, with a pillar of fire or a pillar of smoke. And so they had all the laws, but they also had the pillar of fire and pillar of smoke. And whenever the pillar moved, they had to move. And if it stopped, they had to stop. And essentially, God was teaching them to just be in their in his presence, going where he goes, stopping when his stop, to a degree that they were at the promised land almost. And Moses told God that we will not go into the land if you don't come with us. Like, they had the promise, which was promised for them, but they were, like, you could literally just see, they could see it, but they knew that without God, the promise doesn't mean anything. And essentially, God had to lead them into there. So, just taking this back to Scripture, in the next slide, we read in Romans 7, verse 5 to 6, for while we still were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit of death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which has held us captive, so that when we serve in a new way, the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old ways of the written code. I can't remember which scripture it was, but it was it wrote essentially about how the law was. It was like a guard at a prison cell, and it was actually there to keep the Jews from going out and actually living to their own fleshly desires and to their own means and not according to God's ways. But now that the Spirit of God came, he actually gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us in those things, so that we don't have to look at specific laws which are written to live a life in honor of God, but we can actually have fellowship with the Spirit. And as we follow him step by step, not always seeing the last picture, not always seeing the consequences of or the final promise, but trusting him for steps and for guidance, there's truly walking in freedom, because it's not something that we put on top on ourselves, but it's relationally with God. When I read Galatians this week again, Paul was essentially writing them, getting, and I could feel almost the frustration in his tone, where he was speaking to them that Jesus was just here. Like, you had years and years of the prophets that was prophesying about Jesus coming. You had God speaking to Moses about the Word, and then the Word became flesh in Jesus. And Jesus saved you out of, all this captivity. He saved you from your own flesh. He saved you from the, like, he fulfilled the law completely. And now you're going back into the old ways. What the Galatians were starting to do, the Galatian church, they were going back to the law to make them righteous and right with God. And they were actually tying themselves back into the law. And he was reminding them, like, okay, you want to keep one of them to make yourself righteous. You're going to have to keep every single one of them. And knowing what we know is, I don't think any of us can keep any of those laws, like all of those laws. But he was just reminding him that it's in the Spirit where we have freedom. The Spirit comes to us in our weakness. He comes with patience, and he comes with hope. So there was a few things that I really had to, I think, wrestle with myself. And some revelation came through God speaking directly. Some revelation came through my wife. And some revelation actually came through friends. But it was truly to understand that true freedom doesn't come from knowledge. I was trying to puff myself up with knowledge of, like, this is the way, that's the way, this is how I can do things. But the true freedom in living a life that is pleasing to the Lord, that is honoring for the Lord, comes through the Holy Spirit. He sends his Spirit for us to actually set us free, to guide us step by step, not because he needed someone to watch over us and, like, to bind us again, but so that we can walk with him. What was always fascinating is Jesus saying that to his disciples, and we think, "Yo, amazing! Like, I would want to be with Jesus. Like, I mean, if Jesus can walk with me now, it'll be amazing." But Jesus actually said, "Like, it's good for him to go, so that his spirit might come." And if you think, "Yo, that's quite like this, like his Holy Spirit coming is essentially him telling us that by his Spirit he would lead us far beyond what he can do alone." And that's quite a statement, and I think it's something for us to really hold on to. So there was three things essentially that I needed to renew my mind in. And the first is that the Helper is here to help. He's not here, like I said, to bind us, to look over, almost keep us in check. He's really here to come alongside us, to help us for, you can go to the next slide. The Helper's here to help. In Romans 8, verse 26 to 28 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the people, for the God's people, in accordance to the will of God." And I think that was there was many reasons why this really had to be something that I had to work through, but I think at the core was pride. You know, I thought in my own capabilities I could do this. And pride is really a thing that comes in, and it takes away so much joy. It takes away so much from God and his capabilities in our life. But it's something that we need to break. We need to humble ourselves, like Scripture says, in front of the Lord, so he can come in and lead us into what God wants for us. The second one I think I already went through. But essentially, the Scripture there that really stood out for me was in Galatians 5. And it was, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh is opposite of that of the Spirit." And it was, I must say, it was a really, all that you can describe it to is actually a leap of faith. Because at first you need to trust that you need to put your trust in the Lord, in Jesus. And as his Spirit comes to us, we need to, we need to walk by him and according to his ways. And I think, there's a lot of pride that needed to go. And it really needed to be a thing of, "Yo, Lord, every step. If I take one step to the one side and it's not for you, like, please tell me that's not your step." And lastly, something that I really felt for us today is to be confident in the Holy Spirit. Like, he's so close to us. Like, the confidence that you would have in a dad, like, standing next to you and knowing that, okay, cool, he's going to not make you fall. He's not going to take you somewhere where he's bad. In John 16, verse 13 and 14, Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, and he will take care of what is mine and declare it to you." And I think that's something that we all have really to share in, a common God and his Holy Spirit, who sent him. The person of the Holy Spirit is here with us, for all to receive. And I think the one hope that I have for us is that we don't just, we don't just follow Jesus as a guide, in direction, but we follow him for every step. Like, when we worship, do we soften our hearts to the Holy Spirit onto how we can worship him? When we love each other, I don't know about you, but I don't think it's possible to truly love all the time without the help of the Holy Spirit. There's only so much love that I can muster up in myself before it becomes quite hard to love people. But it's through His Spirit that He actually gives us the gift of love. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I think one of the biggest ones is, in the Spirit, we have the freedom not to sin. If we follow each step of the Holy Spirit, like, we won't sin. It's only when we try to do things ourselves and our own capabilities, our own desires start coming in, when we actually lead our ways by ourselves and not by His Spirit, that we start falling short of the glory of God. Which I'm not saying that, I'm saying we all do fall short of the glory of the God. So it's always good for us to keep in Spirit, like, see where God is, where is His Holy Spirit at, what is He trying to do to teach me in this moment? And it's freedom of performance, freedom of producing any goods or any fruit ourselves. Fruit is not something that you can stick onto a tree and it'll last. Fruit needs to be grafted into, it needs to come from the tree, it needs to come from a good soil, a good foundation. And just the same way, it's the Holy Spirit which produces good fruits in us. And lastly, I felt for us the scripture in Galatians 19 and 26. But it speaks just of the fruits of the Spirit. And but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, and it's self-control. Against such things there are no law. Yo, I'm reading that and I'm like, just the life of, yo, every moment feeling like love, doing things in joy, doing things in peace, like truly, truly having peace on every situation, like because of Jesus, not because of your own, you know, I'm calm, I'm trying to calm down. It's like, no, like actually receiving peace from the Holy Spirit. Like, yo, how many times like have I thought like, yo, I just like some peace now, and then try to think of, or not think of things, instead of just putting my mind on the Holy Spirit, like on Jesus, and asking Him like, okay, what is the next step? Not trying to come up with my creative ideas and ways, because, you know, the desires of the flesh, those lead to death. Those are not His ways. His ways are higher than our, better than our ways. And so I felt this, I just have a picture for us. And it's my baby boy is too young to walk, so it's not of him. But it's, you guys have a beautiful beach here. And you often see these footprints going along on the beach. And I just felt like, well, how amazing would it be if we look back at our lives and we're walking with the Lord, but we don't see two pairs of footprints, but we actually just see one. And it's God who steps in front of us, and we're just stepping in his shoes. Him making the way for us, fighting our battles, like just doing everything that we want to do, and we will not just follow the narrow path that He has for us, but we'll follow it at the pace that He wants. When He wants to stop and us to address something, then we stop and address something. When He wants us to run, then we run, because we know that He has everything in store for us. And so in conclusion, yeah, I just felt like to remind us, like, yo, Jesus bought us at such a big price because we couldn't pay for that. And that he set us free. It's for freedom that He has set us free. And He gave us His Holy Spirit to continue walking with us. Now, after He has set us free, He continue walking with us so that we won't even have to, you know, now that we are free, try to do it our own way, to stay free. He gave us His Holy Spirit and to just remind us of that daily, just coming with us, you know. When you wake up, like, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, like, where is He? Like, what's in store for today? You know, what's the next step I can take? How do I need to handle the situation at work? You know, because, half of the time, I don't know. just to know that, like, His ways are better than ours. I think something that I also had to learn in this time is to also know that the Holy Spirit speaks through other people around me to me. That it is actually a place where we can come, like, we share the same Spirit. We share the same Spirit, and that we can have people around us that are filled with the Spirit come alongside us and actually speak what the Spirit wants for us. So in the times that we feel like, oh, we don't actually know what God's doing in our life, we can bring people along us who have share the same spirit, you know, and to ask them to share with us. And I think just lastly, in closing, I just felt for us to just really, to maybe just assess for us in this time, you know, what are areas that we are not following the Spirit in? And it's not an area of, I don't want to bring down condemnation or anything. It's just to know that we know what God gave us. You know, there's so much life and freedom in there. Has there maybe been an area in our lives where we feel like, we have not actually fully trusted the Holy Spirit in? We're not actually, maybe we're not seeking his wisdom. Maybe we're not seeking his small steps. Maybe we know where we're going, but we don't know how to get there. And to really assess our own hearts is like, do we really trust Jesus for the gift that he has given us, which is the Holy Spirit? Yeah. So, maybe Henry, you can come up for us.